a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
Amen. Don't you know it to be true?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Precious Lord.
Amen.
We are here in this sanctuary today to praise His holiness, His goodness, and to be in love and support for our Christian brothers and sisters here today. I am so glad to see all of you today. I want to welcome you to this service of worship. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. And there are many of you, perhaps, who are new to us this morning, and we just want to give a special welcome to those of you who are our guests today. But we're all a part of the family of God when we walk through those doors. We are one in the Spirit. Amen. And let's begin with the greeting of the passing of the peace.
I think so. Okay.
Andy, pass the peas.
Have you ever looked into the Masons?
Yeah.
The Masons world?
Yeah. I know a little bit about it, but not in depth.
Really nothing to it. I thought it was going to be a big deal. All I wanted was to work with my father was amazing, my grandfather. I heard about all they could do. And I'm thinking, all right, buddy.
Peace.
And I did it because I wanted to die. So when it's all said and done, I did my lunch.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a mighty God we serve. Amen. So I love to do this portion of the service simply because it is God's calling for me to do this. I think it is anyway. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice
and be glad in it. All right, choir. Everybody, I love that. Amen. So today, as we gather together to worship, we ask that you would just let those things go that get in the way of worship. Sometimes things just get in the way. You know what I mean? There are things, as a matter of fact, I'm going to point to the pastor's pinnings. Can be found in your insert. I won't read it all, but I'll read this first portion of it. It says, some days life knocks the stuffing out of you and you feel like you're being chewed up and spit out. Did you ever have a day like that? So read the rest of that as your day progresses. Take it home and read it. And I have a few other announcements here today. One of them being, we're glad to have Todd Smeltzer with us. Thanks, Todd. Fingers Smeltzer on the piano. All right, we appreciate that. Finger. Pumpkin Patch workers, thank you all. Absolutely. Thanks for all that you have done. The workers, the folks who set it up, the folks who broke it down, those who sold the pumpkins, and especially those people, this is a special group of people who would get those pumpkins that were not so good and pick them up, and Bradley among them, many of us did that. It's dirty work, but it's necessary work. Those pumpkins, all of them don't last forever. So thank you, and especially thanks to the ones who helped to unload that truck. I was planning on giving you the total of our take this year. I don't have that figure with me. Somebody does. Somebody might.
Okay. As far as I know, it was a little over $4,000, our profit.
All right. $4,000, folks. It's well worth the effort. You'll see in your inserts also that there are candles for Jesus being sold, and we need to sell a lot more. We've sold 30 so far. We need to sell at least 100 in order to for that project to be a success. And then speaking of the children's home, we're still collecting gift cards from Target and from Walmart. Bring them in, hand them to Betty or to anyone. The pastor will take them. I'll take them. I won't spend them, I promise. And we're going to continue to collect those up until December 11th. The church office will be closed on Thursday and Friday, November 24th and 25th. And I think you can see all of the rest of those announcements in your bulletin inserts. Any others to come before the church?
I have one.
Pastor?
I wanted to make an invitation to all of you. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, our district superintendent is being installed as our district superintendent. He just came on in July, but there will be a special worship service installing him as our district superintendent at 3 o'clock this afternoon at Mandarin United Methodist Church. I will meet you over there, but Ron Coleman is going to come to the church around 2:15, between 2 and 2:15. And if any of you would like to go with him or would like to attend the worship service, I will then meet you at Mandarin Church, and we'll sit together as a church and enjoy this worship service and see who our district superintendent is. Because he didn't do our charge conference this year, you won't know him unless we participate in this. So we're all invited to come here at the church between 2 and 2:15, and Ron and you all will meet me over there at Mandarin United Methodist by around a quarter of 3 or so out in front of the church. Hope you can make it.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We'll continue our worship service. If you would join me by turning to page 6 in your hymnals for our opening words and prayer. Page 6 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We'll do the greeting and the opening prayer. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Sounds like we're there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The risen Christ is with us.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all pray together the opening prayer.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to page 374 in your hymnals. We will stand on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises.
Together. That's what's next, right? It is. Yeah. Oh, sure there is. Here, I'm going to put this right here so we don't look at it during the children's moment. I think the word has gotten out that I have candy. Look at all of you up here today. I have a picture to show you, and I want you to take a look at it. Yeah, but what else do you see in this picture? Caterpillar and a butterfly. Can anybody tell me something about the caterpillar and the butterfly in the picture that I have? Okay, Zachary, what do you think? What would you like to tell me about the caterpillar and the butterfly? All right, all right, yay, yay. Okay, Bradley, what do you want to say about the caterpillar and the butterfly? Yeah? Yeah? It comes out of as a butterfly after a couple of months of sleeping. We really don't know what happens, do we, in the chrysalis? Something happens. The caterpillar builds a chrysalis, and that's going to be in this second picture. We're going to see that happening, and we see the stages of the chrysalis. See the stages of the chrysalis? It starts out as a caterpillar in the chrysalis inside there, but something happens, and it comes out as a butterfly, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I wanted you to look at this picture and see what was in it, because we have a God that promises us that we too will be transformed one day. One day, we no longer live in this body on this earth, but one day we have a promise that we will have a resurrection body and we will live with God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Does anybody know, or can you tell me what you have heard about what happens to you when you die? What do you think about that? Megan? go to heaven. Okay, what's heaven like? Anybody want to say what you've heard that heaven might be like, Bradley? Uh-huh. It's not the same for everybody. And God is still with you. Okay. And you'll see everybody who died before you up there. All right. Well, kind of like this butterfly and the chrysalis, that the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly, we don't know exactly what we will be like or what it will look like, but there is a process that occurs that we believe because God told us. And God told us in the life, in the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, made a promise to each and every one of us. And so we're standing on the promises. Those are the promises that God has made to us. And we believe in the promise, don't we? Because God told us, and more than told us, God showed us the promise as it was in Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God. We may not know all the answers and all the particulars about everything, but what we do is we trust in your promise to us. And we pray that you will continue to guide us and keep us in our lives, especially these children as they grow in your grace and strength, that they may know and have it revealed to them your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now you may have some candy. Now you may have the candy. Be patient. Be patient. There you go. Careful, sweetie. Other people are waiting, honey. Okay. There you go. Welcome. Okay. Ashton, you want to? There. She says, I want one too. It's their version of take the money and run. Okay. We continue to worship God this morning with the presentation of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for this gift you give us called life and eternal life, which begins now when we accept you into our hearts. Be with us and guide us and help us to be the church you have called us to be in this time and in this place as we dedicate ourselves and our gifts to your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Some information along to you before we join in the invitation and confession and pardon. In just a few moments, you might want to put your finger in the page 7 and 8 in your hymnals. But I knew that some of you apparently did not get the word that Rose Wheelhouse passed away this week. It was early Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, and we were notified the next day. And the services for her will be at Jacksonville Memory Gardens, right across the street, 10 o'clock on Saturday, this Saturday, which I believe is November the 12th, 10 o'clock on Saturday. And so I just want to let you know, of course, that Tom is in need of your prayers and her family that is so devastated to lose her. Also, I need to let you know that Marlene Stone is not doing very well. She's had further reports on her lung condition, which continues to progress further, not in a good way, but in deteriorating. And so we need to remember Lloyd and Marlene especially and their family for getting that news this week. Jean Story also got some news that I'm now going to tell you. She has more cancer. It's continuing to grow after her surgery 7 months ago. And she's facing more surgery and chemotherapy as well. And so we're thinking about and praying for Jean Story, a dear and wonderful woman, as are all of them. And we know with the promise, that's because of the promise, we know how much God holds them and loves them and surrounds them with his healing touch at all times. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Will you join me? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is coming to us from the book of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 20. The scripture can be seen on the screen here behind me. We will read from verses 27 through 38, 20th chapter of Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so, in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died in the resurrection. Therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die any more, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is the God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. It was an article about the mysterious traffic starts and stops. Those times when you're driving on the interstate and the cars all slow down and come to a stop and then they pick up again. And there's no accident, no construction, nothing that appears to have caused it. And so, of course, the traffic engineers tried to figure out why this is so. There's got to be a reason, they said. And so they tested out these theories and investigated the problem, why the traffic does this. And this is the conclusion they came to. They don't know. They don't know. It just happens. They don't know why. For no apparent reason, the traffic will get thicker and come to a stop, and then it'll get free again and move on forward. And I'm probably like you in that I don't like to think that something can happen without cause, with no apparent reason. But isn't it true that life sometimes feels that way, that there are things that happen to us for no apparent reason? We're buzzing down life's highway and then going about our business when suddenly something screeches to a halt that causes something in our life to appear meaningless for reasons we do not know why. And if you remember the book of Job, that was his predicament. Do you remember Job at the beginning of the book was a faithful man, a good man. He had land, he had property, he had a family, he had a wife and children, and he's making good time on the highway of life. Then all of a sudden, everything grinds to a halt, the wheels fall off, and he's sitting on the side of the road in the burned out shell of his life. Everything is taken away from him. There appears to be no rhyme or reason for this. Just meaningless disaster, one after the other. But his friends are kind of like that traffic engineer. They want to come up with an explanation. So they come up with some theories. His friends sit there and talk with him. And they come to the conclusion that either Job has some hidden sin someplace in his life that they don't know about and that he's being punished, or that God is a God of injustice, that God caused it for no apparent reason. And even Job's wife says to him he should just curse God and die. But that's not what Job does. It is at that particular moment that he makes his famous statement of hope. When everything has gone wrong and his friends think all is lost and his wife says, just give up, Job, he says, oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved in a rock forever. For I know, he says, my Redeemer lives. No matter what, he knows that God lives. In the midst of his darkest time, Job finds it within him to hold on to the promises of God. Now, in the gospel lesson that Ron shared with us a few minutes ago, the Sadducees are asking Jesus a question, a very silly question about the resurrection and whose wife, whose husband a woman will be when she gets into heaven. My friends, they don't care about the answer. The Sadducees don't even believe in the resurrection. They're trying to trap Jesus. They want him to say something that will get him in trouble and create news. The way news reporters ask leading questions, trying to get public figures to say something objectionable that can make the news. But Jesus does take it seriously, and he answers them, saying that there is a promise of God for us, that there is life after death. The resurrection is true. His answer offended some of them, but it gave assurance to others to know that there is more to life than what we see here and now. Some of you are familiar with the author, the Christian writer C.S. Lewis, and he had an interesting story in his life. He got married rather late in life to a young woman who very shortly after their marriage contracted cancer and died. And he writes, "You never really know how much you believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life or death." The questions before us now are these. Is life meaningless like the inexplicable stops and starts of interstate traffic? Was Job a fool to continue to hope for redemption in the face of his suffering and loss? And how much do we, this morning, here today, believe, really believe the gospel that we read and preach and hear and recite Sunday after Sunday. How much of this is life or death to you? When we recite the creed, do we really mean it? Is the gospel of Christ a matter of life or death? Or are we sometimes like the Sadducees, making idle chatter, asking silly questions about things which we don't really care? How committed are we as individuals and as a church to the most important truth that we know? The most important truth we know is that God is love. God's love is so deep, so true, and so endless that God came and lived and taught among us in the person of Jesus, a living human being and God in the flesh. The truth that God's love is so complete that in a mystery too deep for us, like the caterpillar changing into a butterfly, when Jesus died upon the cross, it was God pouring his life for us, going to hell for us, fighting sin and the devil for us. God's love is so immense that on Easter morning, God brought Jesus out of the tomb. That moment, and in that moment, broke the chains of sin and death and the devil for all of us. To have faith, to really believe, to hold on to hope is to embrace this story, God's story, as our own, and to see that every moment of every day as a moment and a day that has meaning and importance because it is a moment and a day spent in the presence of God. We are never outside of that presence of God. We sometimes act as if we are. But God's presence and power goes before us, guiding us, teaching us, showing us the way if we would open our eyes. And we are called to lay ourselves upon the altar of God and to cry out with Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and until the day when he shall stand upon the earth, I will serve him." Thanks be to God. Amen and amen. Yep. We come now to the table of the Lord, which is open to us all. This is not a table that belongs to the Methodist Church. It is not a table that belongs to me. It is a table that God has set for us on our behalf. We do not come because we are worthy. We come because God is. And God has invited us all. We are all participants in the table of the Lord. On that night in which Jesus gave himself for us, he had a final meal with his friends, and he took a piece of the bread and he said, "Friends, this bread is like my body. It is my body, and it is broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. Eat this in remembrance of me and be thankful." He took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me and be thankful. The bread, the cup are prepared for you and for me. The choir will come and kneel first and receive communion, and then you will be guided by the ushers to come and kneel and partake. And if you need to be served in the pew, we will serve you in the pew. But just remember, you don't have to be a member of this church. You just need to know and feel and trust that God loves you and you love God in return. Will you come now to the table of the Lord?
Thank you.
screen behind me, we'll sing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your praises. I'm so glad You're in my life. I'm so glad You came to save me. You came from heaven to earth to show.
As you go in His peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.